Welcome to the Book Nook on WYSO. I'm Vic McCunis, and it's my pleasure to welcome back to the program today Donald Ray Pollock. He's just published his novel. It's called The Devil All the Time. He joins us by telephone from Chillicothe. Welcome back to the program, Don.
Hey, Vic. Thanks for having me on.
Don, last time we had you on the show was it 2008? Was that when Knock 'Em Stiff came out, your collection of short stories?
Yes.
And Knock 'Em Stiff is a real town where you grew up that inspired a lot of your thoughts and literary notions, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty much an integral part of, you know, who I am and probably what I'll be working on for, you know, I'm 56 years old, so I don't have too many more books left in me, I doubt. But I would imagine, if not Knock 'Em Stiff, then at least Southern Ohio is going to play a big part in my work.
So tell us about Knock 'Em Stiff.
Well, when I was growing up back there in the, you know, we're talking in the late 50s through the 60s, it seemed like, well, it was a community. There were several little grocery stores, and there was a bar and a church, and probably 400 or 500 people, and I would imagine I was related to at least half those people. So that's how it was when I was growing up there, and where I, you know, I sort of gather inspiration for, you know, the stuff that I write about. Today, it's nothing like that. All of the businesses are gone. The church remains, but for the most part, you know, most of the people are new people. A couple farmers sold off their land, and so a lot of people moved out there and bought these little mini farms and built houses and stuff like that. So if you drove through there today, you just wouldn't even recognize the place, you know, as you know, as compared to how it used to be. So it's not a ghost town, but it's definitely, well, it's not really even a town anymore. Just a really spread out bunch of houses almost.
Fortunately, the Knock 'Em Stiff you remember lives on in your memory and in your stories. And that first collection of stories you called Knock 'Em Stiff, and I remember interviewing you for that, and we talked about the long journey that you took to get to this place where you're writing books. You really took a long journey. You spent decades working in a paper mill down there in Chillicothe.
Yes.
What did you do? What kind of work were you doing in the paper mill?
Well, I was just a factory worker, and I was there 32 years, and the last 18 years I was there, I worked in the power department. The mill burned coal for energy, and so I was in the steam power department, and I was what they called the coal ash driver, and I basically took care of all the ash that was left over from the burnt coal. And, well, I just took care of the silos where the ash went. You know, I kept them cleaned out and hauled the ash away, that sort of thing. So, you know, I was pretty much just a truck driver those last 18 years. Before that, I just worked a lot of flunky jobs up in the mill, you know, pushing a broom, driving a fork truck, stuff like that.
And all that time you had a dream, didn't you?
Well, I really don't think that I, you know, I had pretty much accepted that I was going to stay at the mill maybe by the time I was, you know, in my mid-30s. You know, for a long time, I sort of hated that place. And then by the time I was in my 30s, though, I'd accepted it and had also learned to look upon it as a pretty good job. The mill had a program where they would pay for part of your tuition if you wanted to go to college part-time. So then when I was in my 30s, I ended up getting an English degree from Ohio University. And I think I got my degree when I was maybe 40. And so then I really didn't do anything with it. And then when I was 45, I guess I went through some sort of a, I hate to call it this, but maybe a midlife crisis or something. My dad had just retired from the mill, and, you know, he'd been there 40-plus years. And I'd been there at that time 27, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I just really feel like I want to try to do something else. And I'd always been a big reader, and I really didn't know how to do anything else except work in a factory. Well, there wasn't much sense in just moving to another factory, so I decided I'd try to learn how to write. And so I was, you know, I was 45 when I started that. But I can't really say that I, you know, I spent all those years in the mill dreaming of being a writer or anything like that, because I didn't. I mean, when I was going to school, when I was going to college, getting that English degree, I walked by the writers, you know, their workshop down at Athens a number of times, and I never even thought about signing up to take a fiction writing course or anything. It just wasn't... That just really didn't occur to me for a long time.
Donald Ray Pollock joins us. There goes my fantasy, Don, of you working in the mill and having this dream. And here's the reality. You tell me the way it really was, and it's good to know. And the last time we interviewed you for your collection of short stories, Knock 'em Stiff, you told us how you got these books by people that you admired, and you went through them word by word and retyped them just to kind of get that sense of writing.
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe not an entire book, but what I would do is, you know, when I first started, when I decided I was going to try to learn how to write, well, I didn't know any writers, really didn't know how to start. But I had read an interview with somebody one time. It was a writer, and I can't recall her name right now, but she had talked about doing this. So what I would do is I would pick a short story that I really liked. It might be by Hemingway or John Cheever or Dennis Johnson or, you know, whoever. And I would type out that short story. And then I would carry it around with me for about a week and, you know, just keep looking at it and making notes, and then I would toss it away and I'd type another one out. And I did that for maybe, you know, a year and a half, maybe even up to 2 years. But that was a big part of my, I guess, if you want to call it apprenticeship, was doing that.
And then you wrote your own short stories and put them together in that collection, Knock 'em Stiff. Do you remember of those stories in that collection? What was the first one that you wrote?
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember. The first one I wrote was a story called Back Teen. Mm-hmm. And up to that time, I had been just pretty much copying other writers. I mean, if I read a John Cheever story, then I would maybe try to write my own story about a East Coast suburbanite who's having an affair with somebody or something like that. Well, or I'd write about a lawyer or you know, a politician or something. I was writing about people I didn't know anything about. And then I'd been working for a couple of years, and then I wrote this story called Back Teen, and it was, you know, about two losers in a donut shop, and I could really identify with these people. And that was the first story. And then after that, I sort of, you know, and I realized that was the first thing that I'd written that seemed okay, you know, that was, it was at least better than all this other stuff I'd been trying to do. So I just started focusing on, you know, on Southern Ohio and on the types of people that I actually had met with or, you know, was familiar with.
And Knock 'em Stiff is full of stories about these kinds of people that are people that are real. They're people with problems. They're people with troubles. They're people that are violent. And then you sat down and decided to write a novel. And I remember talking to you about this when I interviewed you for Knock'em Stiff, and you were saying, yeah, I'm going to write a novel about a serial killer.
Yeah.
And here it is, The Devil All the Time, just published. Are you excited, nervous? How do you feel about this first novel coming out?
I'm very nervous, very nervous. I don't know what it is. I guess maybe, you know, when my first book was coming out, you know, it was sort of like I was just so happy to have, you know, sold a book, and I had a book coming out, and, you know, I was thrilled. Well, I'm thrilled, you know, that I've got another book coming out. But at the same time, I guess maybe with the first one, I wasn't really worried about people's reactions so much. I don't know why, but, you know, I was still in grad school, and, you know, I had a lot of other stuff going on, maybe to keep my mind off of it. But now I'm out of grad school, and I'm just, you know, pretty much hanging out here at the house. I don't have a job or anything. And, you know, and I've been really getting nervous the last couple weeks about the reception and how the book's going to do.
Well, actually, I hate to break it to you, Don, but you do have a job. You're a writer.
Well, yeah. Well, a lot of people around here would say, no, you don't have a job because I'm a writer. But, yeah. You know, it's been really tough. You know, when I went to grad school, I just figured that, well, I would get my MFA and I would, you know, publish some stories and I'd get a job teaching in a college and, you know, and I'd have a pretty good life doing that, you know, and that's not what happened. I discovered while I was in grad school that I really wasn't much of a teacher. So when I got out of school, it was, okay, well, let's try to, you know, Knock'em Stiff had done pretty well, and I'd won an award, and, you know, I had a little bit of money, so I had enough money to stretch out to give me time to try to finish this second book. And so it's been, you know, just trying to string together a living off the writing, and which is, you know, it's a little tough.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, you know, it's, you know, it's what I've chosen to do. And, you know, my wife supports me, and, you know, so I guess as long as, you know, as she's doing that, well, I'll probably just try to stick with this.
And if you didn't put yourself out there, you would have always said, gosh, I wish I had tried that. I wish I had seen what would have happened if I'd tried to be a writer.
Yeah, well, that was the thing that I told my wife when I first decided I was going to, you know, try this thing. I told her, I said, look, I'm 45. I'm going to give it 5 years. And if at the end of that 5 years, nothing's happened, I'll give myself permission to quit and I can go on to my grave or to the rest home or whatever, knowing that I at least gave it a shot.
Yep.
And that was pretty much my attitude, that I at least had to try.
Let's talk about the novel. How is it different for you after writing all those short stories to write a novel, to write something of this length? How was that challenging for you?
Well, I had a hard time figuring out, you know, I had all these different, you know, and some people might even look at the novel and think that, you know, it's sort of like almost like a story collection at times, or it maybe seems like that. But what I had was, at first I had this idea about a serial killer, and then I had an idea about a serial killer couple, husband and wife team. And I worked on that for a while, and I realized that I don't really think people are going to want to read about these two people throughout an entire book. So I had an idea about a young boy, and I sort of incorporated that into the story. And then as I kept typing, all these other characters popped up. And so I had a whole bunch of different episodes or, you know, scenarios. And I think the hardest thing for me was trying to tie it all together so that the reader wasn't confused. And in the end, I decided, you know, I worked on that for a long time, and I couldn't figure out how to do it. And then it occurred to me to just divide the book up into sections, which I, you know, I divided it into seven sections, and, you know, pretty much, you know, one section is Arvin's, and then we go to Carl and Sandy, who are the serial killers, and then we go back to Arvin, and you know, the sheriff and the preachers and all that. And so I guess maybe, you know, I'm taking a long time to tell you that it was just hard to figure out how to put it together for me. I didn't really have a hard time thinking of a story so much as just how to format it.
My guest is Donald Ray Pollock, and we're talking about his new novel, The Devil All the Time. And as the story begins, it's 1957, and we're in Knock'em Stiff, and you introduce us to the Russells. We've got Willard and Charlotte and their son Arvin. And I think of all the characters in the book, Arvin's the one that we want to sympathize with the most, except maybe for Lenora, because she's so tragic. But Arvin has this problem of being the son of a very violent man. And we get to go back in time pretty quickly to 1945, where we see his father coming home from the war. And you give us that background on just how his father became this person, this deeply religious, violent man.
Well, I think, you know, I was trying to make Arvin the most sympathetic character in the book, but at the same time, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to overdo it. Arvin definitely has his faults. And, you know, and that's just pretty much, you know, well, the way the world is, you know, even the best of people have, you know, their troubles or their character defects. And, you know, and Arvin is, you know, he's also, you know, he's the result of, you know, his father was a very violent man, but his mother was a very gentle person. And so, you know, those two characteristics combined, you know, produced Arvin. And so, you know, he's violent, but at the same time, he's a really, I think, anyway, a pretty decent man.
And Willard, he loves his wife Charlotte very much, and the problems that she's having tend to push him over the edge into insanity. And poor Arvin is witnessing his father's just complete loss of his mind. And this really does something to the poor boy, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, well, for one thing, I think that probably what's pointed out in the book the most is that he, you know, of course he turns his back on God. And he's, you know, he's always, well, you know, I have this episode in there that he's always recalling later on where his father sort of exacted revenge against someone who had talked bad about Charlotte. And Arvin uses that as a, that's sort of like his model on, you know, this is how you act when someone offends you or whatever, offends one of the people that you love or your family. And so, you know, he's, you know, I tried to make him complicated without making him, you know, I'm not a very cerebral writer or anything like that. I'm probably the least brainy writer you're ever going to meet. So, you know, a lot of my stuff is action and dialogue, and you know, and I don't get too much into dwelling on the interior life, I guess. Uh-huh. But I try to show it through their actions more than maybe through their thoughts.
I think one of the things that I enjoy the most about your writing is that you have these really horrific sort of things going on where there's really elements of horror, and yet you have this amazing sort of gallows humor where there'll be like a joke about some extreme act of violence that you end up chuckling even though there's something really bad's gone on. Like the time Willard refers to the fact that there's fresh blood on the prayer log because he just hit a big, you know, woodchuck or groundhog or something.
Right.
But we have to laugh because we know what really happened. And
yeah.
And it's funny. I'm sorry. It's funny in sort of a demented way to read that. I mean, I laugh.
Well, you know, with the first book, and I think there's a lot more humor in Knock 'Em Stiff than there is in The Devil All the Time, because I was, you know, I wasn't focusing so much on, you know, the funny stuff. But I know with Knock 'Em Stiff, you know, people ask me about that, and I told them, well, you know, with a book that dark, you know, I had to have some funny stuff in there, or the reader end up, you know, wanting to commit suicide or something by the time they got done reading it. And, you know, it just, I don't know. I don't know where that humor really comes from. I think maybe part of it comes from all the years that I worked at the paper mill. Uh-huh. Because, you know, I worked with guys who could joke about anything. You know, the biggest tragedy, you know, they could joke about. And I just, you know, I maybe picked up on that, at least subconsciously. And, you know, I've thought about it and thought about it, and that's really all I can come up with is that, you know, I was just around a lot of people who, you know, who had that gallows sense of humor about things. And, you know, and it does, well, especially when you go out in public and you read, it does help to have something to read that's got some humor in it.
Hmm.
So, you know.
Well, definitely read the part about the woodchuck or the groundhog.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Of course, you kind of give away a key plot point, though, which we're not going to do. You have a real gift for depicting just totally reprehensible people. Like, well, Preston Teagarden. We just want to hate this guy. But he's a real guy, right? This is the kind of guy, he's a preacher who abuses his power as a preacher. We've got the attorney, Henry Dunlap, who's terribly flawed. We've got Bodecker, the cop. We don't like him very much. And then there's Carl and Sandy. You want to try to feel sorry for Sandy, but she picked Carl, and
right.
It's really hard to like Carl.
Yeah,
he's a really, really horrible person.
You know, and I have wondered about that, and maybe even worried about that a little bit, because there are some quite a few people in here who are almost, you know, entirely unlikable. But I just have this, you know, I don't know. I mean, with you know, I guess I heard early on, well, you got to have trouble if you're going to have, you know, if you're writing fiction, you got to stick some trouble in there, and I tend to overdo it a little bit, I suppose. But it's what, you know, I mean, it comes down to those are the people that, you know, I don't know where they come from, my imagination. I don't, can't really explain it or know the reason why. And then they are the ones that, you know, that I focus on it and that I probably most enjoy writing about. Probably, you know, writing the book, the Carl and Sandy were the two people that, you know, when I was writing their scenes, That was when I was having my most fun, I think, with the book. So, yeah, it's very strange, I know, but...
Well, the element of deception, we see it all the time, all around us, and that's what they thrive on, is that deceit. He's really the serial killer, but she's his accomplice. And do we want to tell listeners what they are doing, or do you want to just save that for them to read about?
Well, yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, they, you know, their thing is to, you know, they live this pretty dull life in Mead, Ohio, for the biggest part of the year, and then they always take a vacation in the summertime, and they go out and pick up men and, you know, murder them and photograph them. And, you know, they're out on the road for a couple weeks, and then they're back home, and, you know. But they are, you know, it's all deception, you know, with them, with the preacher Teagarden. With
Brother Roy and Theodore, they're kind of con artists.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deception there, and with all those people.
Was that thunder in the background? Did I hear thunder in the background?
There is a, it's either, I imagine that's some sort of a jet plane or something.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe it was the wrath of, I'm just kidding. Well, Don, I think that people are going to love your book, and I understand you being nervous since it's just coming out this week, and I just want to wish you all the luck in the world with it.
Well, I really appreciate that, Vic, and you know, fingers are crossed.
And I'm going to mail you a copy. I want your autograph on that, Don.
Okay. Okay. Hey, thanks a lot.
The book is The Devil All the Time. It's the first novel by Donald Ray Pollock. And I would recommend that you go back and pick up his collection of short stories, Knock 'em Stiff, and read that. And then pick up this and read it, because we're seeing one of our Ohio writers coming into his own. And it's a wonderful thing, Don.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Book Nook on WYSO. For The Book Nook, I'm Vic McInnes. The last time we had Jan Burke on the program was back about 12 years ago when she won the Edgar Award for her thriller Bones. That was the story of a serial killer. And she revisits that story with the sequel, which just came out. We'll have Jan Burke on the program. The serial killer is about to escape from prison, and it's called Disturbance in the Book Nook. The Book Nook is recorded at Soundspace in Yellow Springs and engineered by Chris Hertzler.